You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
We're joined now by David M. McCoy, Assistant Chief of Police for the City of Richmond, Virginia. Chief McCoy oversees the five services of the Richmond Police Department, including operations, community, and youth intervention. Welcome, Chief McCoy.
Thank you. Glad to be on. Okay.
From the police perspective, how serious has the problem of youth violence been in Richmond, particularly in the public school system?
You know, it's been a significant issue for us. Just in general, youth violence has been serious in the city of Richmond. We've taken many steps to reduce the number of incidents and kind of contain the violence, per se, for the last couple of years. But it's even more important in our schools because there's still a perception and feeling that the schools are the safe zones, the comfort zones for kids to go to and get an education and feel safe and secure in that environment. Unfortunately, we've had some issues. Richmond has five high schools, and within those high schools, we've had some violent crime. And historically, one of our high schools in particular, George Wythe, had been leading in mostly all the categories as far as violent crime goes.
And so what you have done in the past is, curfews, cameras, increased security measures, and you're saying that these were just insufficient to suppress the problem.
That's correct. I mean, these are controlling measures. These are things that are within law enforcement's comfort zone. You either arrest somebody, you do curfew sweeps because your ordinance, local ordinance, might say 10, 11, 12 midnight that these kids have to be off the streets. You take cameras, which are after an incident might have occurred, and increase security measures. All are controlling measures to target an individual or a certain behavior, but it does nothing at all to engage the person who may even be thinking about committing an incident or a violent act.
So George Wythe, I understand, is the target of the violence-free zone. What was George Wythe High School like? It's one of your largest and, I understand, one of the most dangerous?
It was. We've got five traditional high schools in the city of Richmond. And out of those five, George Wythe was leading the pack as far as violent crime incidences or just criminal mischief and incidents like that. Before the program started, there were 107 arrests at George Wythe High School in a given year. Had a 60% truancy rate at the school itself. Lots of issues for law enforcement because of that. You know, truancy rate means the kids are not in school. If they're not in school, they're in specific neighborhoods or they're getting into some type of activity that's usually criminal in nature. Usually see a spike in property crimes, burglaries, and then a lead into some violent crimes. And of course, if you're not in school and you're not with your parents, there's a good opportunity for some gang recruitment. So these are some significant issues that we're facing the police department as a result of the activity of just this one particular high school.
And what has been the to response? You mentioned something about how can you tell us how those problems of violent acts been reduced?
In Richmond a few years ago, the Richmond Police Department became very involved with truancy enforcement, and then had some impact. But then, Bob, we became involved with your program. A violence-free zone was created at George Wythe High School. As I was telling you earlier, we had 107 arrests on a given year. We had a 60% truancy rate. Technically, it was 59.5, but I'll go 60% truancy rate at the school. After the implementation of the violence-free zone, and we've been doing it for about a year and a half now, our truancy rate is 19%. Our arrest, we've just had a couple of arrests this year at all. Many things have occurred in that our number of disorderly incidents, a number of threats against teachers has dropped dramatically. Our activities of our school resource officers have dropped significantly to the point where they can get away from enforcing and they can either teach a class or they become more than just an enforcement tool within the school. And it's just been tremendous. And it all goes back to the efforts of Wythe implemented 11 youth advisors through the ROC program, through the violence-free zone, through CNE. and it has just exceeded all of our expectations to this point. Where so, as I was telling you earlier, out of the five traditional high schools, George Wythe was number one. It's currently number four as far as incidents of arrest and that type of activity. So it has went above and beyond our expectations of what we expected.
And what has been the response of your police officers? What's the chatter like now? Did you have some folks who were a little reluctant to embrace something else coming in like that? What was the chatter before the program? What is it like now?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a couple things. The chatter, as we say, you know, it's very easy for law enforcement officers to stay in their comfort zone where we had talked about these controlling measures. It's easy to go out and do enforcement activities such as curfews. It's less easy to share that responsibilities with the youth advisors and let them handle and build trust. So it became a learning curve for a lot of our officers and a bit of skepticism in the beginning. However, the simple fact of this is when police officers work, they'll work in a sector, but they only work for X amount of hours per day. Then they go home. The beauty of what you've established in the violence-free zone at George Wythe is that the youth advisors are there not only in the schools, but they're out of the schools handling the problems with the same child. The issues that child has change, but their trust factor with that same youth advisor and the child remain the same. And as the officers rotate through their schedule, they have less and less demand on their workload because it's being resolved in much different manner and ways. And I'll give you a prime example. One of the ancillary things that had occurred is auto theft in the immediate community surrounding George Wythe High School. We track our crime by neighborhoods, and we had a 61% reduction in auto theft. And I directly attribute that to the trust or the respect. These kids are gaining respect for their school. They're gaining respect for themselves. They're gaining respect for the youth advisors. And they're not going to commit a crime at a location that they respect. So you're talking 61% reduction of incidences, which translates to hundreds of police hours saved. So there's a lot of secondary costs and a lot of secondary work that is saved from the police department, and that can be transferred to something even more positive.
Wow. And the so how have the youth advisor interact with your police officers?
We have a great relationship with them. The group that was selected is called the ROC, Richmond Outreach Center, and it's a group of really committed individuals that we work with in a lot of capacities in different venues throughout the city of Richmond. But we have a comfort level because we know they believe in this program and they believe in the child themselves. I've heard numerous testimonials from children themselves about how now they're recommitting themselves to school activities, not gang activities, adjusting themselves to schoolwork instead of the bad habits that they have been involved with or are thinking about being involved in. And again, just a few examples, you know, increase the GPA of the participants in the class by 8%, absentee dropped dramatically. One of the things, too, that's really important for us that the youth advisors get themselves involved with is the reinstatement of suspensions. Again, as I said earlier, the more time a kid or a child spends out of school, at home, in the neighborhood, when they're supposed to be in school is not a good thing. So our youth advisors work real closely with school administration in working out ways to reduce suspension, serving suspension in different non-traditional ways in the classroom where we see a total reduction in the number of days suspended. Again, it's a win-win situation. You know, the police department, one of our firm beliefs is if you have high graduation rates, you're going to have a safe and secure neighborhood. They go hand in hand. I don't think you can go anywhere in the country and where you have good quality graduation rates, you're going to have a tremendous amount of violent crime. So that's the ultimate goal for the police department, because, again, our goal is reducing violent crime in the city of Richmond. Violence-free zone targets that to this high school community, which was one of our most severe and significant problems, and now it's not. Now, we've still got work to do, but it's proven its success.
And so that, so have you seen evidence of this in other cities?
Yeah, you know, we've had the opportunity through our work with the CNE to visit Milwaukee and to visit even some of the schools that are a little bit bigger than what WITH is. WITH is about 1,000 students, a little less than 1,000 students. So we've been to some of the big cities. We've been to some of the smaller cities, and the problems are similar. But you see the successes. It's a proven, you know, it's a proven methodology, and it's built on building trust. And it goes above and beyond what a person in a uniform can do. But all it takes is for law enforcement to let it go and let it happen. And I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer. I've heard the testimonials. I've seen the kids, both on those that got arrested side and those that are turning themselves around. And I've only been involved with CNE at WITH for a year and a half. So my goal is to see all the participants, which is about 100 kids now, graduate. I expect 100% graduation rate from this group, which is very, very significant.
And what Chief McCoy is talking about is that one of the principles of violence-free zone is that in a population of a school of about 1,000 kids, they are influenced by about 10% or 100 kids.
That is
and
correct.
So the violence-free zone program participants target these 100 kids because they are the leaders in the schools. And if you can change their attitude, values, and belief and behavior, then they will infect the other students, and therefore the whole culture of the school changes. And so that's what you're talking about. There are some, Chief McCoy, who say, well, once a child reaches a certain age, there's little you can do. If you don't reach them in the third and fourth grade, they're lost forever. And what you seem to be telling us is that that is just not true.
Yeah, I've read many studies where it says if the age of 10, if a child is arrested or comes into contact with law enforcement by the age of 10, there's a great likelihood that they're going to be a failure in life. I've heard other studies, 12, 14 years old. But I can tell you, I have seen, I've sat through testimonials from kids in high school that you give them the care and you let them believe that they can turn to you. And that's what they do with their youth advisors, because the key element is not just the school walls, but these people, for example, if it's a weekend, say a Saturday night, one of the children gets wind of a young man or young woman, I'm not going to use the word children, a young man or young woman gets word of a possible fight going on at school, it is nothing now for that individual to call the youth counselor, and the youth counselor will call the police, you know, because there is a role for police in this whole thing. There are those that still need to be removed from a school, but they're fewer and fewer and fewer. And the culture is changing. You expressed it very well. I'm a firm believer that even at the age of high school, 15, 16, 17, and yes, in urban schools, 18 years old, can change if someone just believes in them and takes the effort. And that's the heart and core of what CNE does and the violence-free zone is. And it works. I've seen it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insights and experience with the violence-free zone with our listeners today. Our guest today has been Heidi Abbott, chairman of the board of the Richmond Police Foundation and a prominent attorney in that city, Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm, and Richmond, Virginia Assistant Chief of Police David McCoy. All three have been leaders in their communities in searching for solutions to youth violence. And as you have heard, they feel that they have been successful. Next week, we will continue to explore some more of the issues underlying the problems of youth violence, and we will continue talking about solutions. I'm Bob Woodson, President of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Please join us next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. To listen to the show and to access our past programs, go to www.cneonline.org. That's www.cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. Many of our shows are archived, so you'll be able to listen to past shows as well as this one that you're listening to. I'd like to comment on the show or send if you'd like to comment on the show or send us some story ideas, please email me at bwoodsonshow, that's bwoodsonshow@cneonline.org. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will be with us each week on The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.
You've been listening to The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr. To learn more, visit cneonline.org. And join us next time for more of The Bob Woodson Show, right here on TalkZone.com.